started in here.
It's that time of day. We don't know what we will say, but we'll say it anyway. And Samantha's here to push all our buttons. Headlines of the day. We'll be covering it all, okay.
Justice and Drew.
Justice and Drew
is on right now.
Justice and Drew
will be on
till 9 o'clock.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to your Friday edition of Justice and Drew.
I feel like we've just baptized her. That's really funny.
Hate you both.
That's really, really funny.
I am Drew. On the verge of tears.
Oh. That man over there.
Hi.
Back from his hiatus.
Yeah, so bummed I couldn't,
sabbatical.
Couldn't be here yesterday for all the fun. Oh, yeah. to pick that day of all days to get
it was just a wacky show.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I listened a little bit while I was nursing my cold and was thinking, oh boy, if I could just get in on the middle of that conversation, it sounds like so much fun.
It was pretty heavy. Heavy show yesterday, obviously, with the news.
Yeah.
You know, you have those days sometimes. Welcome back. Glad you're back for the Friday edition.
Yeah, man.
Got a three-legged roundtable today. Just comedian Brian Miller will be joining us at 7 o'clock. Also, Tom Emmer at 7:05.
Right before the show started. We had the parody song contest coming up just after 8 o'clock. And so Drew had asked Brianne, he's like, hey, do you have the parody songs in yet? And we don't need them until way later, but we were talking to her and acting like, you know, they should have been playing right now. And I looked over and I could see the look on your face and I go, she totally thinks we're being serious right now. And she's really, really upset that she doesn't have them.
Yeah, we put her on the verge of tears.
Yeah, we were totally joking.
Yeah.
You've got.
Oh, how funny.
You've got 2 hours.
I didn't realize
to go and pull it down. So
just jokey jokes. That's all. Good morning, Brianne.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning,
Brianne. Nice in for Sam. Sam is out of town. She'll be back on Tuesday, I believe.
Sure. Yeah. I think that's the plan.
As far as I know, it could change.
Maybe
between
no
now
one's
and then.
Gonna show up on Monday. I don't know.
we will have a little bit of heavy today. There is new news over the Florida shooting. Nicholas Cruz appeared in court. A couple of different narratives emerged, and then were abruptly shot down. He did make a statement in court saying the voices in his head and demons was what essentially made him do it. And so we'll get into some specifics on that. And in the 8 o'clock hour, we will talk about the Minneapolis City Council keeping their taxes quiet, not letting everybody know they wanted to raise the taxes.
I thought it was their pay.
Is it the pay?
Yeah, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it later on. We will also double back to, I guess you guys had a chance just briefly to talking about the opioid tax increase that Governor Mark Dayton is looking to push forward.
Dayton has a plan to combat the opioid crisis here in Minnesota, and as he is wont to do, that plan just involves raising taxes, creating a new revenue stream. What they're going to do with that revenue stream, they'll figure that out later, but let's get the money first. Then we'll figure out how we're going to use it to tackle the opioid crisis, and they're going to tax the people that are using them responsibly. That's brilliant.
That's a horrible idea.
That's a terrible.
That's like a really bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, you were right. The Minneapolis City Council kept plan for pay hikes quiet for months. I when I was doing my show notes,
we're gonna give ourselves a raise, but don't tell anybody.
Before we get to the top five things that we think Sam would have wanted you to know today, out of Fox News, a South Carolina high school student was arrested after allegedly posting Florida Round 2 on Snapchat.
Not smart.
No.
Not smart.
No.
An obvious reference to Wednesday's school shooting down in Florida, but he insisted the post was simply a joke.
Yeah.
Really, really bad joke.
It showed the teen wearing a partial mask and holding what looked like an assault rifle. Beneath the photo was the caption, "Round two of Florida tomorrow." Officials from the Brome High School received an anonymous tip from the student about the possible threat. Spartan County Sheriff's Office arrested the ninth grader at the school, according to Fox Carolina. They were able to ID the suspect after meeting with the student who gave the tip and the student's parent. After informing the suspect and his parents of the law violation, the suspect stated a Snapchat post was intended as a joke and that he didn't have any serious intentions, thankfully. Yeah, that's,
yeah.
Look, the response is really good here. Unfortunately, you look at the response in light of everything that's happened with Nicholas Cruz, and you kind of go.
Yeah, you have to take everything like that seriously.
Yeah,
you know. Hopefully, this just involves ends up being a slap on the wrist and scare the daylights out of the kid to not do anything like that again. I don't think he should have his life wrecked over it, but I appreciate that they took it seriously. I appreciate that the police did respond, and the police, you know, because you see the stories about this Nicholas Cruz guy posting a comment on YouTube about 5 months ago or so in September, saying, you know, I'm going to be a professional shooter or something like that. And that was forwarded to the FBI, and they did apparently look into it, but that didn't stop him from carrying out his plans.
Right. No, Cruz, in my opinion, serves as the example of, you know, we talk about all the warning signs, pay attention to the warning signs, who are the people that are most likely to do this. And this was a similar comment made after the Las Vegas shooting. And that is that your mind, people do not seem to have the ability to make the jump, even with so much evidence, to this person could actually go and commit this, because rational people wouldn't go and do that.
Yep.
At the same time, you can't just go and lock him up. Now, obviously, he should have been spoken to. He should have been helped. Plenty of people saw that this was a child, obviously, in an abundance of pain. And we'll talk about his really, it is tragic background that led to a horrible tragedy. But it serves as the example of, you can have all the warning signs out there, and sometimes when you've got an individual who has decided they no longer respect the sanctity of life.
Yeah. To me, it comes down to the lack of community that we have now, where there were plenty of opportunities for somebody in this guy's life to step in and reach out to them and try to figure out, you know, what's going on and why they're in so much pain, why they've got so much rage, why all this is going on. Show them some empathy, show them, you know, and try to intervene. And nobody does that, you know, not right. Nobody, but you don't see that happen that much anymore, and it's really sad.
Well, he was moving through life clearly without any solid foundation. He had no, there, it doesn't seem like there was any anchor for this kid. You know, losing his parents, being adopted, none of this is an excuse. But it does provide a bit of information and clarity as to how an individual can go this astray. But when you don't have a foundation of which you can go and turn to, this is a byproduct of that, and it ends up in the worst possible way manifesting itself.
We will spend more time on this in the 7 o'clock hour, right after we speak with Representative Tom Emmerant, 7:05. But we have been scouring the internet. We have compiled the top five stories that we think would have been floating Sam's boat this morning, and we'll bring them to you next, right here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice in
Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You can also give us a call, 651-989-5855. I haven't told you yet, Drew. I'm so, so very happy this morning. I got blocked.
Did you?
I got blocked by sort of a serial progressive on Twitter.
You got blocked on Twitter?
Yeah, finally. It was one individual that I was like, oh, you blocked me. I'm so happy now. I think I muted them a long time ago.
You didn't block them.
That was no fun. I just like, but they would individuals that would kind of pop on every once in a while and make ridiculous comments. And I had them on mute but on some of my, depending on what, if I'm on my iPad or my phone, it was still popping up. So I got into a bit of a debate last night, shockingly, about the Florida shooting.
Right.
And then suddenly, like a bunch of us that were involved in the Twitter thread, we all got blocked. I was very happy.
Well, good for you.
I felt like a very proud moment.
Excellent way to start your Friday.
Absolutely,
getting
man.
Blocked on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. It needs to happen more often.
You've also upset a gun owner, caller, that I didn't put on air.
Yeah.
It's not assault rifle when you say AR, I guess. It's for Armalite rifle,
which
is a brand of rifle, I guess.
They need to start labeling it what they really mean. And it's not assault rifle. It's scary-looking gun.
I agree. I'm not going to discount that.
You need to put a ban on scary-looking guns.
That looks like the guns I see in the movies.
Yeah. They're just scary.
Right.
They're dark and they look like they're metal and they're scary-looking guns.
Ignore the functionality of it.
Right.
Just how they look.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's because that's the most dangerous part. How they look.
Apologies to the angry gun owner.
I sent them his way already.
So. We have been scouring the internet, finding the top five stories that we think would have been floating Sam's boat this morning. Here are the top five stories you need to know to kick off your Friday.
Number one.
Out of the Associated Press, the Senate rejected both the bipartisan immigration plan and a more restrictive proposal by President Donald Trump on Thursday, suggesting the latest election year debate on the issue that fires up both party voters will produce a similar outcome, a stalemate. Anybody sitting back here shocked and surprised?
No.
Okay.
Courts are going to extend the DACA eligibility and not let it come to an end, and it's going to go past the election and maybe next time.
Next year. Facing a White House veto threat and opposition from the Senate's GOP leaders, the chamber derailed a plan by bipartisan senators that would have helped 1.8 million young immigrant dreamers to achieve citizenship. Also would have doled out $25 billion for the Trump-coveted wall with Mexico and for other border security measures, but it didn't go as far as Trump wanted in curbing legal immigration. It lost 54-45, six votes short of 60. That scuttled what seemed the likeliest chance for a sweeping immigration legislation to make it through the Senate this year. They still have until March 5th, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, and they have even longer because another court stepped up this week and said, you know, nope, we're not going to let you end it.
Right.
You know, until all these lawsuits, all these pending lawsuits are decided, we're putting an injunction on ending it. So nothing's going to change.
No.
We're going to be stuck here with this status and kind of limbo with Trump wanting, you know, one thing, Senate Democrats, Senate Republicans all wanting their own things. And I don't expect, you know, I think the window has passed for actually getting something done here, especially now that we're getting into election cycles.
Yeah, we'll talk with Representative Tom Emmer just after 7 o'clock and get his thoughts on this. Just one side note to this whole thing, you know, in the wake of the horrible Florida tragedy, this should bring about a lot of hope for those that want to see, you know, more gun control. You know, they should be very hopeful that they'll be able to get that done because they've done such a bang up job on immigration, which, you know,
they can't even pass a budget. We expect them to do anything substantive. They can't even do their basic job.
It almost makes you not want to push back against the arguments for gun control because it doesn't matter. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Number two.
Florida high school suspect Nicholas Cruz claimed to hear voices in his head, according to a report from Fox News. ATF special agent in charge Peter Forselli says the firearm that was used in the Parkland school shooting was purchased lawfully by the suspect in Florida. Nicholas Cruz, who confessed to being the gunman in Wednesday's deadly Florida school shooting, according to his arrest affidavit, claimed to authorities that voices in his head told him how to carry out the ambush that left at least 17 people dead. Law enforcement sources referred to the alleged voices as demons, according to the outlet, and said that Cruz claimed that they told him what he needed to do to launch the deadly assault. Details of Cruz's troubled past began to emerge in the hours after the massacre, and accounts from classmates, Cruz was described as a weird kid and a loner, with one person adding that he was kicked out of school for getting into a fight with his ex-girlfriend's new boyfriend. Prior to the shooting incident, the suspect was living in a mobile home with the family of a friend. Both of Cruz's parents, who adopted him, are deceased, according to the Sun Sentinel. His mother reportedly passed away in November.
Yeah, and none of these things, first off, none of these things preclude an individual from going and purchasing a firearm. He hasn't gone through anything that would have been like on his record in terms of, now who knows whether or not he had ended up being evaluated for any type of mental illness, whether or not that would have prevented him from purchasing that firearm. But all of these, you know, things in his background don't keep him from being able to go and purchase that weapon. And I do wonder, I when it comes to the attorneys that are now representing him and the comment of voices in his head and demons, I would be curious to know how much of that is coming from him. How much of that did the lawyer, did his lawyers that are going to defend him allow him to go and make those statements? But if you're looking for sort of your motivation, it's all laid out right there.
It sounds like it was coming from him. I mean, the story reads it was these details were on his arrest affidavit, meaning they were things that he said to authorities.
Yeah.
During the arrest.
Initial kind of reaction. To yeah. His emotional reaction,
Again, he's got no, not an excuse, and we will talk further about this. He's got no anchor.
It's not an excuse. It's just context.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. It's not, you know, we're not, and not saying that thousands of people who have undergone similar experiences that this kid did don't go and cause harm to right. other people. Obviously, you know, there was an instability there that was worsened by the circumstances around in his life.
I do feel like because of what we know about him, that you're going to see the coverage on this change dramatically. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, because I have a theory, too, as to people talk about how these have been increasing. I have a theory that we'll present about what may be the larger driving factor to these horrible tragedies.
Number 3.
Out of the City Pages. I love this article. They write this. We at City Pages will read it for you and discern which parts are true. Very few. Trash, 95%, or too irresistible not to hope are based in fact. Put this piece in that last category. What are we talking about? Well, it's a report that man-child Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry got Kevin Hart, the actor, drunk before the Super Bowl. I love the story. What's beyond dispute is that comedian and actor Kevin Hart, Philadelphia native, diehard Eagles fan, was drunk by the end of the Super Bowl. There's video evidence of that.
Right.
It does raise the question of why was Jacob Fry partying with a diehard Eagles fan? Be that as it may.
Because he was Kevin Hart.
I know.
Celebrity.
But still.
Jacob Hart's the mayor, and he's like, cool, I get to roll with celebrities now.
What remained a mystery was how he got that drunk. Alcohol, you're guessing, but how much, what kind, where, and which elected official did he drink it with? Now, the answers came from the Post. Hart, according to a report, spent a part of Super Bowl Sunday at a brunch thrown by a guy called Barry Milanew, who the Post calls a nightlife impresario.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what that means.
A guy who knows how to party impressively at night.
Right.
So now you know what a nightlife impresario does during the day, boozy brunch with famous people. The Post said this. Since the event was sponsored by Tequila Revolution, Fry, 36, and Hart, 38, decided to pound a few shots for good luck. The rest is, as they say, history. But as the City Pages says, was it, though? They saw Kevin Hart staggering around deliriously happy after the Eagles won. Where was Jacob Fry? Why wasn't the newly minted mayor fighting to get on stage with the newly minted Super Bowl champions? Was Hart's post-game drunkenness in any way related to what was going on his Instagram video? Or was Fry pulling the old make my next one water trick with the bartender? Did he eat two brunches, soak it all up, and then sprint 10 miles to run it all off?
Sounds like something he would do.
What was shots at the celebrity impresario tequila-sponsored lunch the best use of the mayor's time on Super Bowl Sunday? Now, they wrap up with this. Good questions, all of them, as yet unanswered. City Pages reached out to the city yesterday to respond to the Post piece. They've yet to hear back. They'll update when they do, and they did.
They got an update.
City Pages received the following statement from the spokesperson for Mayor Jacob Fry. The mayor had one shot of tequila with Mr. Hart at the event.
Well, good for Jacob.
Okay.
He got to do shots with a celebrity.
First off, if it's true, that's all fine and dandy. But do we really buy that he just did one shot with Jacob Hart?
I don't know. If I were with Kevin Hart, I'd probably have more than one shot.
Yeah.
Sure.
And if you're the mayor, just admit that. Yeah. He just had one. Yeah. I don't buy it. Yeah. Just the whole he had one. Okay. He had one. No, he didn't.
Yeah. He got schnookered with Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Good for him. Who cares?
Seriously, I don't care. That's why he should cop to it. Even I wouldn't begrudge him for that. And I don't like the guy.
I'd do it too.
He seems like he seemed like a fun guy at a party.
But Kevin Hart did pull the "Don't you know who I am?" after that. That was sort of the controversy around it because he was pretty schnookered.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I saw the video right after the Super Bowl and I don't remember specific exactly, but it was one of those things where he was doing the pointing the finger at the guy and pulled the "Don't you know who I am?"
Did the guy go, "Oh, it's you? I didn't realize you were that small."
You're the guy that gets beat up by The Rock in movies.
He's a little tiny guy. He's smaller than Nick Zerwas.
He's a little guy.
Yeah.
We'll continue with the top five stories coming up next on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice.
A little bit later on in the hour, time permitting, got a quick story out of ABC News that we'll cover. Not a good time for people in our industry, Drew. A lot of people getting fired for various reasons. There's a story here that we'll cover. A radio host lost a job after some comments they made on the air about a teen Olympian.
Yeah, don't be dumb.
Yeah, that was. We'll talk about it. It was really stupid. It was really dumb.
I don't think this was the same station, but there was a station in Boston. Is it the same one?
No, different. No, that's why I was saying it's not a good time in radio because I was referring to the Boston story. This was not the Boston
station
story.
In Boston. I don't know what they said, but some host apparently made some insensitive comments, and they took the entire air staff.
Yeah.
Off the air,
everybody
for a full day. They pulled everybody off the air
to go through to give them
sensitivity training. Talk about that a little bit later.
Worst nightmare.
The timing was fantastic because we're moving through the office because Logan's never seen all of it, and we were on the episode where Michael Scott had to do the 6 hours of therapy with Toby. And I thought of that whole deal. So yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later on. Right now, we're in the middle of the top five.
Number three.
Oh, sorry. Nope.
Number four.
McDonald's is getting healthier again because that's why people go to McDonald's for health food. If you go to a McDonald's and get a Happy Meal for your kid, you're going to have to make a special request for a cheeseburger. McDonald's is making some changes to its Happy Meal, according to USA Today, that will make it a healthier option by 2022.
Oh, okay. So we can kill, we can hurt.
It takes them that long to pull cheeseburgers out of Happy Meal? How long do they store those?
And you're missing.
What sort of backlog do they have?
No, we don't care about the children's health until 2022.
There you go. McDonald's is making cheeseburgers available in Happy Meals only by request, reducing the portion of French fries that come with Chicken McNuggets. Boo.
Boo.
And making other changes to its kids' meals to reduce calories, fat, and salt. For some children, the changes may make Happy Meals a little less happy, but they will be more nutritious.
Aw, okay.
The fast food giant announced yesterday that by the end of 2022, 4 years, they need 4 years to pull this off. At least half, just half. Come on. At least half of Happy Meals listed on menus worldwide will have no more than 600 calories, with 10% of those calories coming from saturated fat, 10% from added sugar. Sodium will be limited as well. By June of this year, all Happy Meals in the U.S. will hit the calorie, saturated fat, and added sugar targets. 78% will meet its sodium targets. Besides making cheeseburgers available in Happy Meals only by request and reducing the size of the fries with the nuggets, McDonald's is cutting the amount of added sugar in chocolate milk and adding bottled water as a featured beverage choice on the Happy Meal boards.
All right, there's a couple of things here. Okay, first off, look, McDonald's can do what McDonald's wants to do. Obviously, this isn't. I'd rather have them doing it on their own than being government mandated. They obviously feel like there's a market for this. They're going to be able to sell more. They're not doing it out of the kindness of their heart. First point, though, if you're a parent that buys your kid Happy Meals and you're upset with this, the solution is fairly clear. Just buy two.
Don't stop going to McDonald's. I mean, if you're a parent who's like seriously into your kid's health, you're probably not taking them to McDonald's all that often in the first place.
Well, yeah, but if you're not, and if you want the kids to be able to have the extra food, just buy two of them. That's what I do.
Look, or just not go to McDonald's.
The other part to this, though, and this is the thing that I've said this before, but you know, McDonald's has been facing declining revenues for a while now, and they've been trying to revamp their restaurants. They've been trying to fancy it up. No, McDonald's just needs to go back to doing what McDonald's does best.
Yeah,
just serve your food.
Yeah, People go to McDonald's because they want McDonald's.
Right.
They're not going to McDonald's because they're looking to eat healthy. They're not going to McDonald's because they're watching their waistline. They're going to McDonald's because it's tasty, it's convenient, it's fast, and it's cheap.
Own it. They've just made it confusing and less tasty. The menus, I can't understand them when they had the point system and pick the number and add what you want. And when I was growing up as a kid, it was an event. We would go. It was like once a week or once every other week. We're going to McDonald's, and it's like, you know, we were sitting back for healthy food. We were going to McDonald's, and it was fun,
tasty, convenient, fast, cheap.
Yeah,
that's what you're good at, McDonald's. Do what you're good at.
Number five,
Judge locks up Minnesota's king of drunken driving.
Wait,
for the
that's
next
a position.
It's self-appointed. Oh. For the next 2 years.
Himself that. That's wildly irresponsible.
Well, the Star Tribune might have. Prosecutors said the sentence fell within state guidelines, but was pretty reasonable. So the most prolific drunken driver in Minnesota history, with a whopping 28 arrests,
wow,
won't be adding to that infamous tally for at least the next 2 years.
That's amazing. 28. How do you get to 20? How do you get to three before you know some lifestyle changes are in order or your license is revoked permanently?
Not caring is how you 28. Is how you get to 28. Danny Lee Betcher will be in prison until well into 2020 for his latest conviction for driving while intoxicated. 65 years old, he was sentenced last week to a 4.5-year term after pleading guilty to felony drunken driving on September 28. He was leaving a VFW hall in his hometown of New York Mills. With credit time for served since his arrest, Betcher will serve the first 2 years or so in prison with the balance on supervised release. He also must abide by a long list of conditions for 5 years after leaving prison. Those include completing a chemical abuse assessment, providing authorities with a DNA sample, and never possessing a firearm. The county attorney said that the sentence fell within the state guidelines and was a pretty reasonable punishment given Betcher's age and the fact that he took responsibility to pleading guilty. His criminal history already included spending 4 years in prison for a prior drunken driving offense, and he's been ordered to treatment at least a dozen times. At an Otter Tail County hearing in 2010 for arrest number 27. So he had a bit of a gap between the two, it looks like here, between that one and 20.
So 27 was in 20, okay.
Yeah, it was in 2010.
Yeah.
I'm
sure that he had not been driving drunk at all.
No.
Between 2010.
That was the only time.
And last September.
The off and on construction worker and handyman said, I drink to get drunk. At the time of his 28th DUI, he had a valid driver's license, despite spending much of the past 10 years in and out of jails and prison for drinking and driving. There is no circumstance under which the state law can take someone's license for life.
Well, that needs to change.
Maybe there should be.
Yeah.
Some legislators are currently attempting to add Minnesota to the handful of states that can permanently ban drivers from being licensed after several DUI convictions.
Yeah, absolutely. They should. I mean, I don't know what the number is, but, you know, there's got to be a point where this is a pattern. This is a person who is clearly not interested in changing their lifestyle and changing their behavior. And, yeah, you have to permanently revoke their license.
Well, you ask, how does it happen 28 times? I have a probable answer. He's just drunk all the time.
Yeah.
He's just never sober.
Yeah.
So every time he's behind the wheel.
Yeah. He's got problems.
Yeah. So.
Excellent top five, John.
Hey, thanks, Drew. You know what? you too.
Hey, real quick, I want to plug an event that's happening this weekend. We've talked about Project Delta on the show a few times. It's a really amazing organization run by a friend of the show, Patty, who they pair up rescue dogs, train them to be service animals for veterans who are suffering from PTSD. They have an event this weekend, Alaskan Ales for Tales, at the Howe Daily Kitchen and Bar Sunday from 2 to 4. You go there, all you got to do is buy a pint. Buy a pint of tasty Alaskan Brewery Company's Husky IPA.
Nice.
And every pint is going to donate $1 to the Project Delta mission.
Is that for you or for the dog?
What?
The pint.
No, that's for me.
Oh, okay.
You don't give a dog a pint of beer.
How do you know? You know, maybe he wants some. Just a little bit.
Terrible.
little sample. He deserves it. They work hard.
So, yeah, I'm gonna try to swing out there on Sunday 2 to 4, again, at the Howe Daily Kitchen and Bar in Minneapolis.
So we do have the Olympics going on. I kind of forgot. Have you watched any of the...
Yeah, actually, I have.
Have you?
I've never been a big Olympics guy.
Me neither. I like the Winter Olympics more than the Summer Olympics.
But yeah, I found myself watching some giant slalom.
Okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, some snowboarding. Pretty cool.
Snowboarding's cool.
Yeah, that's about, I think that's about all I've watched.
The curling actually took off quite a bit this year. I like the curling. I find it.
I enjoy curling.
I find it fascinating. Curling.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
It's very methodical.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's like, it's so slow paced, but.
And yet frantic.
Yeah.
They scrub so hard.
There's a tension there.
Yeah.
That you can feel when they're playing. I don't know. Do you play curling?
You do. I think you do curling. I think you partake.
You curl.
Yeah. You curl. Why is it called curling? Do you know?
No.
Brianne.
Look that up.
Yeah. Brianne, find out. I want to know how this started. That's what seriously, how do you get the big donut, the donut looking thing with the handle and the brooms and the ice? I mean, what?
Stone. I believe it's called a stone.
Okay. See, yeah. Tells you how little I know.
Slide stones.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. We're getting closer.
And apparently it's, it doesn't look like it's all that athletic an event, you know, and especially when you look at the people who do it, they look like bowlers.
Yeah.
You know, but apparently there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah.
It's quite a workout from what I've been told.
I bet Dwayne The Rock Johnson could really do well at curling. Because he's got those big arms. Yeah, well, frantic.
It's a lot of leg and back muscles being used.
Oh, is that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I bring all that up because I have a story about the Olympics.
I was hoping so.
Okay.
I was hoping this was going somewhere.
I just want to talk about curling.
It's 16th century Scotland.
When did it start?
15th century Scotland.
Do they have the inception as to why?
Have you people found were that drunk. Yet?
Okay.
I'm working on that.
Okay, you're working. Okay, you let me know.
That's piece the type of piece. Game that originated with some drunk guys in a backyard.
It's just so,
I'm certain of
it's
it.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch.
Have you seen the meme where they replaced the stone with a cat?
Yes.
That's really funny. out of ABC News, a San Francisco Bay Area radio station has fired one of its hosts for sexual comments he made about a 17-year-old Olympic snowboarder, Chloe Kim, on another station. So the program director of KNBR AM said in a statement Wednesday that the host, Patrick Connor, has been fired on Tuesday. So he wasn't on the actual, he was on a different show. So he wasn't on his own show. Not that this excuses the comments by any stretch, but it's crucial to the story. So he was on Barstool Sports Network on Sirius XM. And Connor called Kim fine as H-E double hockey sticks, along with more vulgar sexual comments, and then said the countdown is on until Kim's 18th birthday.
Yeah, that's gross.
Whew.
Yeah, don't do that.
He did apologize on Twitter and called his comments inappropriate.
Well, because they were.
Should have known that before you went and opened up your mouth there, dude. The Barstool Sports founder, Dave Portnoy, without referring directly to Connor, said on Twitter that his network sometimes misses the mark with humor, but crybabies will not dictate his actions.
Aw. Good for him. Way to take a stand.
Yeah. So brave.
So brave.
hashtag so brave. Yeah, man. I think in times past, you could have gotten away with that being on a separate outlet. But now, not that it wasn't warranted, but now there's just there's no way.
The standards have changed a lot
in
the last
a little more stringent
decade or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag higher standards.
And that's not a bad
thing. Not a bad thing at all. No, I didn't. Did it make it sound
gross.
Like I was saying?
Don't be
it was
gross.
A bad thing? Yeah. That's the first thing that we say before we go on the air every day.
Don't be gross.
Yeah.
It's kind of, it's like our motto.
Out of,
our creed.
Out of intellectual takeout, you know, we've had several conversations, especially with Devin Foley from Intellectual Takeout, about what's been happening in Edina School District. Mm-hmm. And, you know, oftentimes people will ask what sort of the root problem is of the liberal and progressive agenda in our public education system. This is a good starting spot as to what's actually happening. A newly created Minnesota board is seeking to implement a rule that critics say would introduce social justice training to a state's teacher licensing.
No! God, please, no! No!
The board, the Professional Educator License and Standards Board, or PLEBSB, was created after a 2016 audit concluded the state's teacher licensing system was broken. So this is an 11-member board seeking to adopt a rule that will require teachers to undergo training that promotes self-reflection and the discussion of all the following topics.
Can we just have the broken board back? Apparently, it wasn't all that broken.
They replaced it
with something worse.
Racial, cultural, socioeconomic groups, American Indian students, implicit bias, systemic racism, gender identity, transgender students, sexual orientation, language diversity, and individuals with disabilities.
Where's math on that list?
It's not.
Reading on that list?
Did I miss it?
Yeah, I don't see math.
I don't see it on the list.
I don't see reading.
Because
that's kind of what you should stick to.
The introduction of social justice advocacy in Minnesota schools has been a topic of heated debate in the Gopher State. And further in the article, it talks about how state lawmakers said the board does not have the authority to rewrite the statute. But to this, look, if you're a conservative, right? First off, if you're trying to get a job within public schools, you're probably keeping yourself in the conservative closet.
Yep.
Second, if you're a conservative and they were to move forward with the implementation of these rules and you wanted to be a teacher here in Minnesota and you saw this, I mean, how many of those teachers are going to go, yeah, this is just not my bag. This is not why I don't want to get a license.
This is not why I got into this. This is not what I got into this to do. I'm not interested in promoting a specific social justice agenda. Because it is. I mean, it's the board sort of cramming a very specific worldview, a very specific viewpoint down the teachers' throats, and then telling them that they have to then pass that along to their students.
Yeah,
That's not what they're there for.
Representative Sandra Erickson told Intellectual Takeout that they oppose the rule as it's a total violation of the state statute plus an overreach in the area of culture.
And she's right.
Yeah, another lawmaker wrote the administration law judge to express her opposition to the rule. That was State Senator Carla Nelson, saying the permanent rules that the Professional Educator Licensing Standards Board is proposing exceed its legal mandate. And it kind of sounds like the Met Council.
Yeah, it really does.
A little tiny bit.
The case will be heard on March 2nd, and hopefully we'll try to reach out to Devin and get his thoughts on this next week and have him on, because this is something that we want to make sure to keep on top of as it moves through the court system.
Yeah, but again, you wonder why, you know, that you have that progressive agenda that's permeating the schools, and they try to get it starting there directly with the teachers they hire and try to push away the ones that don't in a very sort of subversive way.
It even starts before then. It starts in the college programs when people are going and studying and to become a teacher. That's where it really starts. That's where they start implementing that agenda and that worldview.
Speaking of schools, coming up, St. Paul contracted details. Teachers giving up $1 million in pay to fund new positions?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
We'll also talk with Representative Tom Emmer. We'll get his thoughts on what happened with the immigration plans and why we couldn't get anything done.
And also, I want to ask him about the infrastructure bill, the infrastructure agenda, and what that means for Minnesota. He'll be joining us just after 7 o'clock.
Justice and Drew.
Why am I getting beat with a hot dog?
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM.